Well done.
You know, if you're alive and breathing, you should be crying. That is the testimony of God. That's what we share. We were prisoners, held captive in our sin, in our muck, in our mire. And Jesus set us free. She said God's timing was now. And then she didn't say a word. And she communicated the gospel well. Father, I thank you for this morning. I'm excited to see what you're going to do through our time here in your word. God, I pray that I would fearlessly and boldly make known the gospel, that your word would go out, that it would be heard, taken up, and put into practice. Father, I give you the praise in advance for what you're going to do in this time, and I pray that what is done in this time is great for your kingdom. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, because I know that you carry a Bible, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 3 this morning. But before we go to chapter 3, I want to share some verses from chapter 2, because I think it will open our mind to what we talked about last week. And I want to share one verse from 1 Timothy 2 that will set the page for where we're going this week. So I'm going to begin with Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17, while you find Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 2, 17, we read, He, that's Jesus, came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. In other words, He preached to the Gentiles, they were far away, and He preached to the Jews, they were close. He preached what we closed with last week. For God so loved the world. That was His message. We just preached it again, not less than 3 minutes ago. Ephesians 2:18 says, For through Him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, For there is one God and one mediator between God and men. The man, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in the proper time. Now is the right time to do that dance. This is the testimony God gives eternal life. The life is in the Son. He who has the Son has life. That's what we proclaim. Paul is saying anyone can come to God. We all have access to Him now. In Christ. Some faiths say you got to go to the man and he'll take your request to God. I don't know if you participated in that congregation at all. But Jesus broke that system. He says, go to your knees. That's what Jesus says. Pastors, seminary professors, missionaries, don't pray any better than you or the person sitting right next to you. So many people say, I stand on the Word of God. I know God's Word. I know what it says. I believe it. And then they seem to slip off the foundation of what it says. Did you hear God's Word this week? Last week? Will you hear it this week? Ephesians 2:19 and following states plainly, You are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling place in which God lives by His Spirit. Do you own that, church? Yes. All right, so now turn into Ephesians chapter 3. Let's start at verse 1. For this reason, because what we just read, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. Paul is a prisoner for a cause. His cause was letting the Gentile people know that of Jesus and his love. We sang about that last week. Paul is saying, no matter what may happen to me, at all costs, Lord, I will serve you. He's in all kinds of trouble. The Sanhedrin on one side are trying to threaten him. Caesar himself is on the other side trying to be God and threatening him. And Paul is saying, no man can be God. There is one true God. Not Caesar. Not me. God. In Paul's day, people were putting their trust in gods, offering their sacrifices to their gods, gods made out of wood and stone. And Paul's saying, no, 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 it's Jesus. He's the one. And what he is preaching is getting him stoned and persecuted and imprisoned. I wonder how many of us would go out our front door, cross the street for a cause. Would you be able to take the rejection, the go-aways, the slammed doors? I don't think we'd get stoned. Maybe beaten, maybe imprisoned, but more than likely not. So what keeps us from crossing the street? Could it be thoughts like, they won't listen? They won't get involved. They don't care. Where do those thoughts come from? They're not of God. There's one in this world that plants what? Lies. If Satan is speaking, if his lips are moving, he's lying. That's the truth. They're all lies. We can't know what people are thinking. Could it maybe be fear or pride? Thinking, I want people to like me. Or do we not care? Or have a burden for the lost? Do you care? Somebody has to speak the truth. God chose me for such a time as this. You don't have to like me. I'm okay with that. Are you living with an I will serve you, Lord, at all times attitude? At school, at work, or just here? Let me. Is your thought, I will lay down my life. I will give my all for you, God. We must understand that God has given each one of us a gifting that must be used for His glory. I believe Molly has been gifted to dance. And what excites me is she dances to bring honor and glory to God. And what happens is she gets the joy, and the joy is shared with others, to tears, I might add. There is no doubt in my mind that Rich has the gift of health. Dennis has a gift of service. Ruth would be seen as one who encourages. Donna, a prayer warrior. I could go on. The list goes on. But Paul has an unquenchable burden to tell others about Christ. Do we? I didn't just say that, did I? Do you remember why Paul is in jail? Is it for chariot racing? Drunken, disorderly conduct? Striking a Roman officer? He's in prison for preaching Christ to the Gentiles. Scholars tell us they believe Paul was taking Gentiles past that part in the temple that by Jewish law they had no right to be. Come on, guys, follow me. And it landed him in jail. While in prison, Paul isn't having a pity party for himself because he is doing what he's called to do. What did Paul do while he was in prison? He was speaking out to the Gentiles, writing letters while chained to Roman guards or chained to the wall. dictating more than half of the New Testament. And what's happening? Broken, upside down inmates are coming to Christ. Roman guards are coming to Christ. When you read your Bible and it says, to those who are in Caesar's household, I greet you in the faith. Literally, in Caesar's household, where he is considered Lord, people are living for Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul is placed where God wants him to be. And Paul's okay with that. He says, for such a time as this, I will preach Christ and him crucified. Paul is head over heels in love with God because God is head over heels in love with him. And he is burdened that the Gentiles, that those that read Ephesians 3, will know of Jesus and his love. Why do you know about Jesus? God's Word. People sing about it. People dance about it. People speak about it. Verse 2. Say good morning. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given me for you. Pay attention here. Surely you have heard is not a question. It's a statement. Paul is saying, you know my story. You do. You know his story, right? He's walking down the road, has an encounter with God, loses his sight, and then he can see. You know the story. His destiny has been changed. Yes. People knew who he was. A murderer. A Jew. A very obedient Jewish high priest. Probably knew all the 600 and some laws that they had set in place. And he lived by them. And now he's saying, what? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. At all costs, I'll serve him. He saw something. God did a work. And we see it. And people can see it in us. When we allow God to do the work. Paul is living under grace. He understands what the message of the cross and the power it holds for those who choose to believe in the matchless power of Jesus Christ and his shed blood. At the cross, we receive complete love and forgiveness. Have you been there? Love. The cross is a description of love because Jesus suffered so much for you. He went through so much. He endured so much. He truly does love us. Do you know that, child of God? Forgiveness? That he suffered our sins and died knowing what we've experienced or are going through? And he'll forgive us if we ask? That is grace. Are you living under grace? The definition of I like best for grace is unmerited favor. We get it all. We are united. We are one in Christ. Are you one in Christ? We get all that God has for us. Heaven, earth, salvation. We can come and sit at Jesus' feet. There's no way we could purchase that, buy that, afford it. So God did. That is the message we share. Paul tells us in Ephesians 3:3-6, if you want to follow along and make sure I don't misspeak. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, an aha moment. As I have already written briefly, verse 4, in reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which is not made known to men in other generations, as it's been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and shares together in the promise in Christ Jesus. Paul is saying, it's not my idea that I came up, hey, I have an idea. You should be as I am. You should be like me and do what I do. How often do we do that? We spend our life trying to find someone else's testimony that'll fit our lifestyle. Or we compare our story with someone else's story. My story's not that great. I was born and raised in a church. I was Christian all my life. I was wayward. I skipped Sunday school and church for a while. And I came back to the faith. That's my story. It's not all that great. Like, hey, here's a good one. I used to shoot all kinds of stuff in my veins. I killed squirrels for no apparent reason. I had no respect for life or authority. And when I turned 8, why is it we're looking for some earth-shattering event instead of taking a knee and crying out to the God of the universe saying, God, I'm not asking you to bless my plans for my life. I want to know your plans for my life, and I want to live them out and walk in them every day of my life. Is that how you start your day? Before your feet hit the ground, is that your prayer? God, I want to walk in your grace. To walk in grace is a gift from God. Unmerited. Nothing I can do will separate me from the love of God. Take a minute. Look to the right. Look to the left. That's so cool. Look to the left. No, you're doing it backwards. Look to the left. I know. There are all kinds of people here this morning. Do you see them? There are men and women, boys and girls, sick and healthy, rich and poor people. There are people here that are awake, people here that are asleep. There are people here today that can confidently say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord at all costs. Why? Because they are one in Christ. That's the mystery. How can you live the way you live? I know the mystery. Jesus in me. For those of us that believe, the mystery's been revealed. We've had the aha moment. I got it. Have you experienced it? The mystery revealed to the apostles, the prophets, the Gentiles, the people of Israel, the members of the body of Christ, dare I say, made known to you and me. Possibly, you're getting this for the first time today. Jesus in me. We are one in Christ. Who is Christ? BBS. The Messiah. The Son of God. Our Savior. How quickly we forget. Can we just preach that at Vacation Bible School? These things are written that we may believe. Jesus is Messiah. Jesus is the Son of God. We believe it. Church, who is your Savior? Jesus! Oh, the mystery revealed. You get it. The first 3 chapters of Ephesians can be overwhelming, but in them we get the keys that unlock the mystery. It's Jesus in me, Jesus in you, Jesus in all that believe. God uses nobodies, broken, upside down people, to fulfill His perfect plan and purpose. I'm too small. I can't speak.
I'm too old.
Lies. Don't believe the lie. Verse 7 explains, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of, anybody there? His power is working in me. I stand here because of Him, not because of me. Paul was made a minister of the gospel through a gift. It wasn't his idea. He didn't say, hey, I have a great idea. I'm going to go out, I'm going to get beaten, stoned, in prison to be seen by man. No, rather, he said, I'm going to preach Christ because I love Him and He loves me. And the world needs to know of God's love for them. Entering into service for the Lord is not something you run to. It's something you can't run from. That's right. It's an unquenchable desire that does not go away. 30 years I've been preaching Christ. My message is so redundant. Jesus saves. He's the way, the truth, and the life. That's all I say every week. And I hope one morning it lands on your ears and you go, and then you get ignited and excited and you go into the world and share the gospel. It is a gift from God. As believers of Jesus Christ, we all who are in Christ by His power have a gift. Or maybe gifts, more than one. So, in what way has God placed a burden on your life to serve Him? Because know this, God will use anyone. Nobody's broken, upside down. That's me. And you. Look at verse 8. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me. Maybe I should read that once more. This grace was given me and you to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Look at how Paul views himself. He's humble. Not the worst, not the least, but less than the least. And he was used mightily by God. In Romans, he sees himself as the worst of sinners. He's broken upside down and backwards, and God uses him. What makes you think He won't use you? You dented piece of created image of God? God will use you and me when we are in Him and He is in us through the power that is at work in us. That is good news. It's God's word to you today, and it needs to be picked up and put into practice. What are we to be doing? Preaching? Not everybody's called to preach. Dancing? Not everybody's called to dance. Baking? Not everybody's called to bake. What can we be doing for Jesus? Verse 9. Make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for the ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. Will you be available to do whatever, whenever, wherever, that which God has placed before you to do? Are you all in? Or are you just doing church? Maybe today you have more questions than answers. That's great. That's growth. You're growing. I want to know more, Jesus. Grow. I'll water you. I'll uproot you back. Don't make me uproot you. Because God isn't opposed to doing that either. In and of ourselves, we have no power. It is only in Christ. It is Christ in us that completes us to do His will and fulfill His purpose. It's not just our words, not just our actions. People should see Jesus in us. Think of this. Oh, this one hurts. We were witnessing this past week. Every one of us was witnessing.
I didn't witness.
You did. The question is, did you witness for good or for evil? Verse 10. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Listen, our witness is not just for those on earth. They are for the angels of light and the angels of darkness in the heavenly realms. When we walk each day, they look down. They should say, "That is a child of God." Verse 11. According to His eternal purpose, which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Eternal purpose. You have to understand that God is a God of order. He is a planner. And His plan includes you and me when we make ourselves available. Look at verse 12. In Him and through Him, faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. We need to know and make known the truth of God's Word. That's why we're on this planet. And it's not my job solely. My job is to equip you, to teach you, to encourage you, to admonish you, and a bunch of others. This is not a comfortable place to stand. I want you to like me. But I don't care if you don't. I want God to love me. And He does, even when I fall. God's plan is working. Do you know His plan? He sent Jesus to the earth. Jesus died. He rose from the dead. He conquered sin and death. His death gives life. God's plan is working. I have new life. I have something to sing about, something to preach about. I'm going to learn to dance. I got something to dance about. When we are in Christ, we're blessed. We're holy. We're blameless. We're adopted. We're redeemed. We're forgiven. We're sealed by the blood of Jesus. Read the first three chapters of Ephesians. It's in there. We have confidence in God because He is faithful. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." I had a year and a half struggle. I got through it by God's grace and the fellowship of the believers. You don't have to try and make it through this life on your own. You, follower of Christ, child of God, are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, who is living and active and at work in your life. Through the power of the Holy Spirit that you received when you said, "Yes, Jesus." Romans 5:1 and 2 says, "Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace in which we now stand." Don't slip off that foundation. We rejoice in the hope and the glory of God. This is the message to be shared. Did you share that this week? Yeah, me neither until today.
look at me. Look at me. Every eye up here. If you are a follower of Christ, if you are a follower of Christ, born again, you have access to come before a holy and loving God every moment of every day until He calls you home or comes again. What this means is that you can pray for someone who's hurting. How do I do that? You say, come here. Tell me your story. You listen. And then you pray. That means when your neighbor or your friend is dealing with the loss of a loved one, you, the less than nobody, the less than, what is it, the less than? The less than the least of these, a nobody, can pray for that person. Why? How? Because of the power of Christ in you. I don't pray. Jesus prays on my behalf. We open to that. We have one intercessor between man and God, the man, Jesus Christ. You are ministers.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. You witness every day. Sometimes you use words more often than not. No. The word ministry simply means service. That's it. Paul's service to the Lord was to the Gentiles. At all costs, he was willing to sacrifice his life because Christ sacrificed his life for him, Paul. He didn't get caught up in the thinking, well, serving the Lord takes so much of my time. It's not convenient. It's uncomfortable. I'll tell you what's uncomfortable. He died for you to set the prisoner free. When I read the red letters, man, my new life. Have you read the red letters in your Bible? Do you have a red letter edition Bible? Get one. Look it up on the internet. You can get it. It's highlighted in red. And you'll know when Jesus is talking. He came to set the prisoner free. The least we can do is live for Him and share with others His love. What opportunity do you have to serve Him at home, at work, in the community, or here at Christ's Little Coppahoppin Church? What is your focus in life? That's the test for next week. Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You that it has power to speak to us, and I pray that we were attentive. And I pray that Satan doesn't have an opportunity to rob, kill, or destroy one word that has gone out this morning. That by Your grace it has pierced the darkness. And a new light is dawning in each one of our lives, that we would fearlessly and boldly make known the gospel to all those You place in front of us to serve, to minister to. God, give us the courage and a boldness that only comes from You. Use us mightily to have an impact on Your kingdom. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.